Step 6. Create an early win with mini games. Give people a chance to win early and often. Having identified your critical number and the right drivers that influence it, you now need to give your team a chance to create an early win with mini games. With targeted day-to-day improvements that add up to long-term success, mini games bring a laser focus to those small, everyday wins that put us much closer to the big win. Not a day goes by that we don't hear someone in the great game community telling us a story about how their frontline people have astounded them with creativity, innovation, and dogged determination to achieve a goal. Most of this praise surrounds one of our favorite practices, minigames. Once you've seen the transformational power of the great game of business, your team will begin to grab onto the gamification aspects and along with them, the language. Words like huddles, scoreboards, and so on will become part of the vernacular of your organization. Minigames are a powerful example of gamification. Create an early win with minigames. Rolf Glass case study. Rolf Glass is a manufacturer of decorative glass located in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Its skilled team of operators employs a variety of processes to create its designs, such as sandblast etching, diamond wheel engraving, and glass polishing. When the operators of Rolf reviewed their work at their company-wide all-hands huddle, they learned that their machines were operating at just 88% efficiency, which meant they were losing 12% of their potential profits due to a lack of productivity. If they could boost their efficiency, they could drive their critical number of profitability and add up to $144,000 in profits to their bottom line for the year. In other words, the team identified that increasing machine operator efficiency was an important driver to improved productivity and their critical number of profitability. As the team members discussed that missed opportunity, they focused on their key constraint. When the machine operators didn't load or unload their machine efficiently, productivity suffered. In many companies, the solution would be to simply tell the operators they were underperforming and order them to become more efficient. While that might create just short-term gain, it rarely results in lasting change. But at Rolf, they knew of a better and far more effective way to improve. They created a minigame. The beauty of minigames is that they require teamwork to win and help bridge the gap between management and employees. Along the way, minigames provide incentives for employees to change processes, systems, and behaviors to get results while having fun at the same time. Management got the operators involved in creating the minigame. The team discussed what a reasonable improvement goal would be and agreed upon a target of operating at 95% efficiency for a period of 9 weeks. They chose a fun golfing theme for their minigame that would be reflected in their scoreboard as well as their rewards. They created a scoreboard that looked like a 9-hole golf course, with a golf ball as their game piece. It was simple and fun to look at, making it easy to see at a glance how their team was progressing. Each week the team played the game, the golf ball would move to the next hole on the course. After 4 weeks, the team would end up at the clubhouse, where they could earn partial rewards and recognition for the progress they had made to that point. If the team had reached its partial goal at the end of the 4th week, the company would host a cookout at the end of the month. If the team maintained its efficiency goal after 9 weeks, they would enjoy a picnic held at a local amusement park. This minigame included goals for both the team and for individuals. Operators who ran their machines at 100% efficiency 3 times in a single week, something they called a benchmark birdie, would earn a gift card to use at the amusement park. Also, for every week the team achieved its goal of operating at 95%, something they called a hole-in-one, operators would become eligible for prizes that would be drawn at the picnic held at the end of the month. The course on the scoreboard also contained sand traps and water hazards. Anytime the team's efficiency slipped, or quality or rework issues cropped up, the game piece would slide into a hazard. That would then trigger additional team huddles and coaching from supervisors to help the team get back on course. Every Monday, the team gathered in a series of huddles to update the status of their progress, as well as to discuss strategies and best practices to win the game. When they began, the team was worried that the individual operator weekly birdie goals of 100% might be too difficult. But not only did they prove to be achievable, they also provided benchmarks and inspiration for other operators as they shared their best practices across the entire team. Overall, the team exceeded its efficiency goal for the first month, which meant they got to celebrate that accomplishment with a cookout. By the end of the 9th week, they nailed it, achieving an efficiency of 98.5% and earned their celebratory picnic and the chance to earn 1 of 9 raffle prizes given out at the amusement park. While management was concerned that the efficiency gains would only be temporary, that operators would just go back to their old routines after the minigame ended, the opposite happened. Efficiency remained steady at more than 98% over the next few months. Not to mention, the operators now knew that they were capable of operating at a level they had never thought achievable before. The efficiency increase not only generated an additional $25,800 in profits for the business in just 9 weeks, it also helped improve the company's culture. None of this could have been accomplished without the improved teamwork from all involved or the commitment to help one another and find ways to do things differently and better. That's the real lasting effect from minigames. 4 reasons to play minigames. Playing minigames is a relatively simple practice that can create powerful engagement and bottom-line results. Minigames are like small incentive plans directed at day-to-day improvements that add up to year-end success. They're played to effect a change, reinforce business education, build teamwork, and create a culture of winning, all of which lead to success for the company and for the players. Effect a change. The primary reason for playing a minigame is to strengthen the business by driving results through improved performance. Minigames help companies boost work group, departmental, and corporate performance by focusing on an operational or financial number that represents a weakness or an opportunity. Minigame teams are challenged to find solutions to current problems and take advantage of current opportunities, whatever it takes to get the goal. The best minigames effect a change in a system, process, or behavior that will stick long after the minigame is over. Reinforce business education. Minigames are one of the most effective tools used to build a business of business people. Minigames provide the opportunity for employees to practically apply the business education they receive and to learn even more as they play. Since many or most employees are unfamiliar with reading and acting on financial information, minigames focused on non-financial drivers or measures are the key to teaching managers and employees how to connect their work to the financial outcomes of the company. Minigames also reinforce key principles and practices of the game. Employees learn to set goals, keep score, run effective huddles, practice forward forecasting, and hold each other accountable, experiencing the game in microcosm. Build teamwork. Minigames provide the people on a team, work group, or department with a shared common goal. While individual contribution is valued, individuals must unite as a team in order to reach the goal. Minigame rewards are based on the success of the team. The shared reward gives each player a vested interest in helping the team achieve its goal. Minigames underscore the concept that we're all in this together. It's the number we are competing against, not each other. Through minigames, employees learn that a united team is vital to success at every level of the company. As a short-term version of the great game, minigames also reinforce key components of team success: goal setting, mutual responsibility, and performance management, by teaching players to track, measure, and report team activity, by showing them how they can contribute to team success, and by rewarding them when they do. Create a culture of winning. Face it, most people don't wake up feeling like winners. Life's hard. Maybe, just maybe, we could create a winning environment at work in which people are recognized and results are rewarded. Minigames instill the desire to win, and if used often, can help create a culture of winning. The more minigames are played, the more opportunities employees have to win. The more employees win, the more they want to win. Why not make winning a habit? Minigame design steps. Thoughtful design and proper preparation will help you avoid common pitfalls in creating a winning minigame with your team. There are 10 proven steps to designing a successful and effective minigame. Number 1. Select the objective. 2. Set the improvement goal. 3. Estimate the benefit. 4. Identify the players. 5. Determine the time frame. 6. Create a theme. 7. Build a scoreboard and establish a huddle rhythm. 8. Decide on the rewards and determine an award schedule. 9. Play the game. 10. Celebrate the win. Coach's tip: as you get started, consider implementing more than one minigame, each in a different work group. You'll have more opportunities for early success and deeper learning. Step 1. Select the objective. What do we want to achieve? Put it into words. While drivers that directly influence the critical number are often your best choice for effective minigames, other problems or opportunities for improvement can also be rewarding. Are there organic issues and challenges that are frustrating your team every day? In the Rolf Glass story, the team discovered that operator efficiency was a key driver to their critical number of profitability. Their objective became improving productivity through operator efficiency. You will have multiple key drivers to your critical number. Now you need to pick one. Remember, people support what they help create, so don't do it in a vacuum. Step 2. Set the improvement goal. How will we measure success? Put a number on it. Once the objective has been selected, an improvement goal must be set. An objective without measurement is just fantasy, and the game is founded firmly in reality. Make sure your goal is achievable. People won't play a game if they don't think they can win. First, determine your as-is state of performance. The team's past performance and industry benchmarks can also serve as baselines. Whatever the baseline is, get the team involved in setting the improvement goal. Ask the team, what's possible? What do you think we can actually pull off? They're the ones that must believe that it's reasonable and achievable if you want to see them get really engaged. You'll remember that Rolf Glass knew its past performance of 88% left money on the table that could be going to the company and the bonus pool. Management and the operators decided as a team that they would shoot for 95% efficiency with a stretch goal of 100%. So from 88% efficiency to 95% efficiency in 9 weeks became their improvement goal. X to Y by when? It's goal setting 101. In other words, tell me where you are, where you're going, and when you plan to get there. Here's another important point. In the following examples, which is better? We're going to reduce waste by 50%. Or, we're going to reduce waste from $4,000 a month to $2,000 a month, and we'll do it in 90 days. You guessed it. The latter puts waste into terms everyone can understand. People get paid in dollars, not percentages. Mind you, we still want to teach people percentages, so why not do both? It's important to note that this example, waste, brings to mind a manufacturing issue. But waste affects all businesses. Just change the word waste to inefficiency, or rework, or choose another term. There's one universal truth about business. We all have the same problems. Coach's tip. If current performance is not being accurately and reliably measured, you could design a learning minigame. Get a baseline in the first 30 days, improve it, and maintain that performance for the next 60 to 90 days. Step 3. Estimate the benefit. If you really want to build a business of business people, teach them business at every turn. Once you establish the objective and the X to Y by when improvement goal, ask them to estimate the benefit to the business, both in financial and cultural results. Involving the team in estimating the benefit is a great way of sorting out the mini games we should do today and those not worth playing. It's a vetting process and a business education opportunity. What's the biggest bang for the buck? We can explore ideas together about how to make the biggest impact as opposed to a manager just saying no. For Rolf Glass, the team calculated there was $28,500 in additional profits if they maintained 95% operator efficiency in 9 weeks, a potential annual improvement of over $150,000. Rolf management also had an early concern that when the minigame was completed, the efficiency would backslide without continued focus. What they underestimated were the changes in behaviors and the new ways their operators developed to improve their efficiency. So in the months following the completion of the minigame, their efficiency ran 98.2% and 98.4%, respectively, well above their original goal. If you set up a game that creates a change in a habit, a behavior, or a process, you not only achieve rapid results, but also create a lasting change. We call this the minigame effect. There's a step change between what the performance was at the start of the game and what it is after the game. That performance will continue on because you have changed the activities, processes, and behaviors that were causing that lower performance. Step 4. Identify the players. Here's an easy one. Who can move the number? Who can impact the objective? A minigame is most often played by a natural team. A work group, department, functional group, geographic unit. If an individual has the ability to directly impact a minigame goal, if they have line of sight, they're on the team. At some point, you'll likely want to have multiple minigames going on at once. The rule of thumb is focus. It's fine to have multiple minigames, but try not to have one person in more than one at a time. For Rolf, it was clear that the machine operators were the natural team supported by supervisors and management. Step 5, determine the time frame. Which of the gurus are right? You've heard 21 days to a new habit or the 66-day challenge. Some behavioral scientists tell us it takes 6 weeks to change a behavior. What's the right duration to really make your minigame work best? Keep it simple. Make sure that it's long enough to change a behavior and short enough to keep people interested. You want your team to win early and win often. In nearly 40 years of practice in thousands of companies, we have found 6 weeks to 90 days to be the range, 90 days being the most popular. Sure, yours could be a month or four. Just ask the question, what does this game require? Coach's tip. If the goal may take longer than 90 days to achieve, consider creating two back-to-back games. For example, Level 1 and Level 2 minigames, to keep people interested and engaged. Change up the theme, scoreboard, or rewards. Rolf Glass had the opportunity to take its 9 holes in 9 weeks golf theme to a Level 2 minigame, playing the back 9 with enhanced rewards. Step 6. Create a theme. In the first steps, we're defining the objective and establishing the goal. Now, we're bringing it to life. One of the most engaging elements of minigames is the theme. Sometimes the goal itself will inspire a theme. It could be the strategy the team is using to get there, or perhaps the prize its members are pulling for. Maybe even the time of year. One of the best sources of inspiration can be pop culture. Memes, music, movies, what's happening in the world? Whatever the theme, ask these questions. Is it inspiring, engaging, and fun? Whose theme is it? Remember, people support what they help create. Is it memorable? Does the theme carry through the scoreboards and rewards? Rolf's team chose a golf theme, which tied beautifully into the group's interests, the scoreboard, and the rewards. In this case, mini golf at the amusement park. Step 7. Build a scoreboard and establish a huddle rhythm. An engaging theme usually inspires the greatest scoreboards, and an effective scoreboard is one that is simple and easy to understand. While minigame scoreboards must track the numbers associated with the game, avoid scoreboards that are so detailed they overwhelm players with too much information. Sure, have a spreadsheet to track, measure, and report, but minigame scoreboards should communicate if you're winning or losing in 3 seconds or less. Consider Rolf's simple golf course scoreboard with its traveling golf ball game piece. A hole-in-one or a birdie represented performance beyond the 95% standard the team had set. Sand traps and water hazards represented drops in efficiency, flagging the need for help. Winning or losing was immediately evident and highly visible to everyone. The best minigame scoreboards are frequently viewed and updated by the team playing the minigame. In order to keep players focused on the results of their performance, a minigame scoreboard should be updated daily, or perhaps even by shift if applicable. Posting the scoreboard in an area where it can be easily viewed keeps players motivated and informed about what it takes to win. Coach's tip. You don't care what the scoreboard looks like, or whether it has pipe cleaners, glitter, or construction paper. You care if your team members are learning something, if they feel like they can make a difference. Remember the ugly baby syndrome. Nobody loves an ugly baby like its mama. If your people build it, they'll care for it. As your minigame progresses, regular communication through the scoreboard and huddles is vital to success. Team members need to see a direct tie between their actions and the score of the minigame. That's line of sight. Seeing the numbers on the scoreboard change as a result of their performance establishes that tie. Rolf's weekly huddle gave individuals a constant connection to how the entire production team was performing. Ad hoc huddles were held when folks found themselves in a sand trap or water hazard. Halfway through the game, they took time to recognize the players and celebrate their progress with a cookout. Your huddle timing will depend on your minigame. For longer time frames, weekly huddles are appropriate. For shorter games, brief daily stand-up huddles will keep the energy focused. Create an atmosphere in your minigame huddles where learning is emphasized and questions are encouraged, but where gripes and complaints are not. Huddling around a minigame scoreboard gives the team an opportunity to review the status of the minigame, to brainstorm ideas for continued improvement, and to get fired up. Step 8. Decide on the rewards and determine an award schedule. Rolf Glass scored significant improvements in efficiency and captured tens of thousands of dollars in savings. The rewards were cookouts and amusement parks. Why didn't anyone demand a piece of the pie? A cut of the profits? Ask anybody what they want as a reward, and what do you think they'll say? Gimme cash. Every time. Guaranteed. But think twice about cash. While cash is understood by everyone and easy to administer, it is not a memorable reward. It has no trophy value. Cash is often used to pay bills and is quickly forgotten. Cash also tends to become an expected reward, and therefore does little to motivate any change in behavior, and quickly becomes an entitlement. With many game rewards, don't set this precedent. When you fully implement the great game, employees will understand that any financial gains created from minigame wins will fund their annual bonus plan, a bonus plan that will be worth significantly more than short-term minigame rewards. The folks at Rolf did a great job reinforcing the team's stake in the outcome by awarding modest prizes and recognition for the wins of their minigames. Larger rewards were earned from a bonus plan based on overall company success. But there's more. They aligned the efforts of their team to larger goals of the organization that provide a sustainable place to work with job security and career opportunities. The first step in choosing rewards for minigames is pretty simple. Ask them what they want. Remember, people support what they help create. Based on the effort it will take to achieve the goal and the estimated benefit, what would be reasonable? In our experience, people will generally ask for far less than you think they will. And if they don't, it's a great coaching opportunity. If you're teaching people business and they understand how hard it is to make money, it's an adult conversation. So, if it's not cash, what do we do? Focus your team on fun, memorable, motivating rewards. To truly motivate, you must provide a reward that the players genuinely value to inspire performance. Sometimes, bragging rights alone will suffice. It's amazing what people will compete for. A memorable prize is one that anchors the memory of accomplishment. We like to call this trophy value, something tangible, a reminder of the achievement that can be remembered long after the celebration. Alternatives to cash could include the following: meals, time off, movie tickets, gift cards, lottery tickets, trophies, maid services, company logo prizes, group activities, a turn at a prize wheel or website, travel vouchers, spa services, tickets to a sporting event. Coach's tip. These days, gift cards are popular, but these are still a cash equivalent. If you do find yourself giving gift cards, require each team member to share with the group what they bought. Next, you'll want to set an award schedule. Here's what a 90-day minigame reward system might look like. If your people themed their minigame around their favorite sports team, the 30-day reward could be a team ball cap. The 60-day reward could be a jersey emblazoned with their beloved theme. And the 90-day reward could be a group celebration at a local AAA park on the club level, something they may never do on their own and will never forget. A simple way to think about progressive rewards is by breaking them down into small, medium, and large. You may tie them into performance levels such as reasonable, achievable, or stretch. If it's food, think of them as hot dog, hamburger, or steak levels. These progressive reward levels allow you to engineer early wins and create momentum. It also allows you to reward incremental improvements so you can avoid all-or-nothing goals. These simple guidelines will help you and your team plan out your entire minigame reward system. Your minigame may not fall conveniently into a 30, 60, or 90-day schedule. The first reward at Rolf was an entry into a prize drawing. The second reward was a cookout scheduled at 4 weeks. The group celebration at the amusement park was at the 9-week mark. Whatever your schedule, involve your team in the planning of the goal, the scoreboard, theme, and rewards. How much do you share with your team? Relax. This is way better for you than you think. For easy math, let's say your minigame is forecast to provide everyone on the team $100 in rewards. How would you split up that between a small, a medium, and a large prize? One permutation would be as follows. Small, $10. Medium, $20. Large, $70. Now you have a budget for the first 30 days of your minigame, the second 30 days, and the final 30 days, culminating in the largest reward. Step 9. Play the game. It's important to roll out a minigame with enthusiasm. Someone must take ownership of keeping the spirit alive, preferably a member of the team playing the minigame. Again, people support what they help create. Keep the scoreboard updated, keep up the huddles, and celebrate every small win along the way. Play the game with enthusiasm. a well-promoted minigame is a successful one. Step 10. Celebrate the win. You would be surprised to learn how often people forget to celebrate the win and recognize the players. Well-designed minigames have celebrations built into the reward system. Make sure it's one that generates good feelings that can be remembered weeks, months, or even years after the goal was achieved and the reward received. The opportunity to celebrate with teammates is an example of the feel-good factor. Give the team a chance to revel in its accomplishment. When handled correctly, the good feelings created can far surpass the monetary value of the prize. Just don't get too busy to stop and reflect on what the team has accomplished and to pay out the rewards. You'll find it's the best way to memorialize the win. At Rolf Glass, the rewards and recognition were tied to a company picnic celebration at a local amusement park. At Rolf's outing, they raffled off 9 prizes, each commemorating weekly successes they experienced during the minigame. They literally tied rewards directly to the behaviors that earned the rewards. The minigame effect. Practice velocity. You want your team to design minigames that create rapid results and lasting change. Consider the example of a company called Practice Velocity, which was founded by doctors for doctors in 2002. Practice Velocity provides software, teleradiology, and revenue cycle management services to more than 2,400 urgent care clinics across all 50 states. Prior to playing the great game, staff members had no access to budgets or any insight into their ability to influence numbers. Employees made financial decisions by running them up the ladder to leadership. Now, thanks to the game, team members feel empowered to make decisions. Best of all, they feel proud when they find ways to save money while still providing exceptional customer service and delivering a 10-point increase in client net promoter score. From the start, minigames were a big hit, driving employee engagement and real-life lessons on how each team player affected company outcomes. Successful minigames focused on areas such as increasing sales leads, growing the number of referrals for hiring new employees, and even raising the percentage of employees getting flu shots. The great game taught us that minigames are about creating new habits, says CEO Dr. David Stern. Habits are not about results. Habits are what you do every day. The key to success of those minigames was that they were built around behaviors and activities, defined as the key measurable actions that drive the critical number. For instance, rather than focusing a minigame on increasing sales, members of the Practice Velocity sales team focused on something they do daily, software demos. Every week, the sales team looked at the demo numbers to gauge team success. Paradoxically, focusing on lead measures, not just the end goal, has definitely made a big difference in achieving the end goal, says Stern. Today, every Practice Velocity team makes better, more educated decisions based on data. They are learning and thinking about how each decision affects the company's bottom line and how it affects the client. To put that another way, lasting, sustainable change occurs when you can change the behavior. That's the minigame effect. Minigame checklist. A well-designed minigame will satisfy this checklist. The minigame objective is meaningful to the company's overall performance. The win, the improvement goal, is clearly defined and communicated. The players have line of sight to the targeted goal and know the financial benefit to the company of improving their performance. The team is competing against a problem or opportunity, not each other. The time frame is limited in duration, or incremental goals and prizes are utilized. Long-term change in a behavior, process, or system is promoted. The scoreboard can be easily and frequently scored and is simple and easy to understand. Huddles are scheduled to review the scoreboard and keep the team, including off-site employees, focused on and informed about the minigame. Prizes are memorable and meaningful. Prizes reward performance, not motivate participation. The minigame has a theme, title, scoreboard, and prizes that supports promotion and the creation of a memory of winning. Business training is incorporated to aid understanding. Negative outcomes for other work groups or departments have been considered. A scorekeeper has been appointed to settle disputes,